Okay, the motion reads, once again, we are directing the KTFT LSB to seek Robert Gardner. We have every hope that the KTFT LSB will comply with the PNB resolution to seek Mr. Gardner, which is based on an opinion by the Pacifica Council, and afford Mr. Gardner due process. However, if the LSB fails to seek Robert Gardner, the PNB will take the action of suspending the rights of committee participation on the part of KTFT directors and delegates on committee of the Pacifica National Board until such time as the KTFT LSB comes into compliance with the PNB directive.
Thank you, Dwayne. Do we have a second on this motion?
Chair, may I be recognized as Lawrence?
Do you wish to second the motion?
Yes, Chair. Lawrence seconds the motion.
Thank you. The floor is open for discussion. Who would like to be on the stack? We'll take 2-4 and 2-against.
I would like to be on the stack.
Hold on. Before we proceed, though, I would like to allow Mr. Lark to motivate the motion.
Okay, thank you. To the body, we have spent too much time on this matter. As I waited, once we cleared all of the most important information, I reluctantly had to bring it to the Pacifica National Board because the KPFT LSB majority, but not reasoned. The purpose for this motion is very simple. Mr. Robert Gardner has not been afforded the proper procedure for removing a member of the LSB as is articulated rather explicitly in our bylaws. And for those of you who haven't read the bylaws, may I afford you what in summation? That a charging committee needs to be created, a fact-finding committee, report back to the LSB. The LSB then votes in a majority to make a determination of whether or not the charges or the findings or the facts measure to warrant a trial. Then a 30-day notice is to be given so that the accused member will have an opportunity to face his accusers and bring witnesses and make his or her case. None of this was done. And in conclusion, it would require a two-thirds majority of the local station board in order to effect a removal. None of this was done. I also point out that this same similar majority removed four members of a local station board in 2019. And I had to bring that to the PNB. And the PNB caused all of them to be restored their voting rights and the rights of which the electors of our foundation from the Houston area elected them. So this is a pattern. I've attempted to do it without involving the PNB. The PNB now, for the third time, is directing the KPFT LSC to do what we've asked them to do. And for that reason, I'm disappointed, but Mr. Robert Gardner has been accused of certain allegations. If they are true, that KPFT-LSB should follow the proper procedures to remove him. But the idea that it's important that we follow the procedures, which is to afford him the due process to allow him to be seated until which time the KPFT-LSB follow the proper procedures. And they haven't done that. So it's not a question of whether the charges against Mr. Gardner is accurate. The question is, did they follow proper procedures? No, they did not. They just removed him because of saying that he is a whatever this. I won't go into that. But the facts of the matter is, if you read the bylaws, you will know that the KPFT-LSB has just willy-nilly decided they're not going to respect the vote, the voting process, because he was a second runner-up, and they've not allowed for him to serve for now 3 months. Thank you.
Lawrence, to the
thank
stack.
You, Mr. Lark. Yeah, I just want to remind everybody there's a 90-second limit on speakers. And I'll take 2-4 and 2 against Lawrence. Are you for or against this motion?
I'm for the motion, but I would prefer to hear from somebody that it's against first, and then I'd like to go.
Okay,
Jim,
who wants to speak against?
Point of order.
Ms. Goodman, do you want to speak against? You have a point of order.
No.
What is your point of order?
I'm just concerned that we are going to wander off into items relating to the substantive nature of this, and I would like to move this item to the executive session because I can't imagine that we're not going to end up doing that.
Well, this is simply a discussion. Ms. Goodman, we are discussing procedures for removing a member. We are not discussing the substance of the charges made for removing the member, and if anyone does get into that, they are out of order.
Well, so I'm just thinking that
as long as we stick to the discussion on procedures, this is a valid discussion to take place in open session.
Yes. However, Mr. Chair, if, for instance, it is, you know, there's an emergency nature of some action, then there are other procedures that, you know, apply. And if we get into a discussion that, oh, this was an emergency and this is the reason for the emergency, then we're going to be in that situation. And so it would be applicable.
Chair, I have a point of order. I believe that you already ruled.
Well, I just want to hear Ms. Goodman's response, and then I'll make a final ruling.
Should I be timing, Ms. Goodman?
Yes, you should, actually.
Okay, I'm just pointing out that if there's, you know, if somebody says this is an emergency, and then and this is why it was an emergency, then you're going to be in that situation. And if it's an emergency, then the set of rules that Mr. Lark laid out don't apply because other rules apply, and then you have to discuss what the emergency is, and then that is going to lead into an appropriate discussion of the facts, and we'll be, you know, back in this situation. So it just seems a lot more appropriate to just discuss it in executive session and not have a, you know, not tie ourselves up and discuss, you know, like, oh,
okay.
Is this okay to talk about, et cetera. Thank you.
Ms. Goodman,
okay,
I'm not convinced that this is this discussion must necessarily need to items that have to be brought up in executive session. So I'm going to maintain my ruling that this is proper for the open session. Paulina?
Chair, this is Paulina. Yes, we're out of time for this agenda item.
Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion to extend time for this agenda item?
I will.
Chair, the motion, if I could be recognized, Lawrence.
Mr. Reyes, yes.
So the motion's already on the floor. There has been discussion called for. I believe that what's in order is for that two pros and two cons to address the motion, then move to a vote.
We need an extension of time to do that. Otherwise,
then I'd like to make a motion.
Otherwise, yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to extend time.
How much?
I say 5 minutes.
I'll second.
Okay. Second. Okay. Are there any objections to extending this for 5 minutes?
I object.
Can we make it eight minutes? It's 5 minutes is not enough. If we're going to have
5 minutes is not enough. Okay. Wait. We had an objection. You want to make it 8 minutes? Do we have a second for 8 minutes?
I second, Lawrence.
Okay. Do we have any objections to 8 minutes?
I object.
And who is this objecting?
Lyndon Foley.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't recognize everybody's voice, so please announce yourself before you speak. We have a motion to extend for 8 minutes, and we have an objection, so let's just go to a vote. It requires a two-thirds vote.
If we don't extend,
pass.
They'll just vote without discussion.
Let's go. Grace, could you call the roll?
Yeah, sure. Okay, Grace Aaron votes yes. Robin Collier?
I'll pass.
Right, Chris Corey?
Yes.
Right. Lisa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Lyndon Foley?
No.
Jan Goodman?
Can I clarify, if we don't vote yes, then we have to go to a vote immediately. Is that correct, Mr. Chair?
That is correct.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Okay, I vote yes.
Sorry, I didn't understand that. If we vote...
If we don't extend time, we simply go to a vote. Without any further discussion.
Motion to extend time for 8 minutes?
Yes.
This
is the motion.
Okay. All right. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Okay. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs?
Yeah.
Okay. Wally James?
Yes.
Okay. Dwayne Lark?
Yes.
Okay. Ron Pinchback? Okay. Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Sandra Rowland?
No.
Right. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Okay. Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Okay. Eileen Rosen?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Okay. Nancy Sorden?
Abstain.
Okay. Alex, Aki Tanaka?
Abstain.
Okay. Paulina Vasilio?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm going to count these up now. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, yes. We have, who knows? We have two abstentions. Oh, I'm sorry. Robin Collier, you passed. Would you like
I'll
to
I'll abstain.
Pardon me for that. We have three abstentions. We have 16 yes, 2 no's, 3 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
No, I'll abstain.
Final, extension of time passes.
Okay, we have eight minutes, and I said we'll take two for and two against. Let's start with someone who's against this motion, who would like to speak.
This is Sandra, KPFT Houston.
Sandra, okay, go ahead.
Thank you. I wish to vote no on this motion because this will be handled locally at the KPFT LSB level. Also, I would like to add that the Pacifica National Board was provided all the documentation regarding why Mr. Gartner was disqualified. There was a dropping of the ball, if you will, by our national election supervisor, because the official certified letter was sent to Mr. Gartner telling him that he was disqualified, and apparently he never received it. We have tried to address this situation at least twice that I'm aware of locally, giving Mr. Gartner the opportunity to explain why he should not have been disqualified, and he has refused to do so. So at this point, way too much time has been wasted. It's my personal opinion that the people that are promoting seating Mr. Gartner are not doing it because they care about Mr. Gartner and his rights to be seated on the board, but rather as using him as a pawn in their game. So,
Ms. Rowline, you're out of order. Please refrain from ascribing motives to other board members.
Okay, my apologies. Mr. Gartner has been banned from the station for valid reasons, which have all been documented, and I believe that the local station board will prevail in removing him if he is forced to be seated. So, thank you.
Okay. Before we go to a vote on this, Arthur, are you still on the call?
Chad, you still have to take pros.
I know. Just want to find out if our legal counsel is on the call. Okay. Before we go to a vote, I would like you to just briefly say something about the basis for your opinion on this issue. Let's finish the debate first, okay? Who would like to speak?
Lawrence.
Yes.
Oh, Lawrence.
Okay. Lawrence, go ahead.
Okay, so the Ms. Patterson's aside, the board, the Pacifica National Board, has entered covenant 3 times in regards to seating Mr. Gardner. The National Election Supervisor's opinion was that he shall be seated. The legal opinion from our counsel stated that he shall be seated. 3 times there's been memos or decisions that were made by the Pacifica National Board to the KPFT LSB, and yet the LSB has decided not to comply with those decisions. I'm hesitant to state that Mr. Gardner's due process rights have not been adhered to according to our bylaws and even according to law, but I'll let our counsel address that. So I support this motion, and I think we're going to have to reaffirm the seating of Mr. Gardner again, and I'm hoping that KPFT LSB sees in its wisdom to seat Mr. Gardner and not focus in on the innuendos. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'll take another speaker against. Who would like to speak against the motion? Does anybody else want to speak against the motion? Okay, then I'd like to ask our legal counsel, Arthur Schwartz, to explain the basis for his opinion on this matter, which and his opinion is part of the reason we made this motion.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
What is your point of order, Mr. Lark?
Well, it's really a question, but it could be a point of order. Did two individuals who wanted to speak for the motion get their opportunity?
Not yet. We had one.
I would prefer that point of order be that we allow the second member, because if the other side does not want to speak, it doesn't preclude the second speaker for.
That's correct. Okay, do we have anybody else who wants to speak for this motion?
Yes, Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
I believe that, as has been stated before, Mr. Gardner must be afforded his due process, and also there is a hierarchy when the national board passes the resolution, local boards are expected to comply. Unfortunately, we do not have exact mechanisms in place to enforce that compliance, but I think that the motion is proposing a very fair mechanism of compliance, and that's why I would vote for. And if later the local station board of in Houston wishes to present arguments bring it back to this body, they can do so. But in the meantime, they should be complying with the PNP resolution, and we've been asking for it for over, more than one time. So that's why. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'll ask one more time. Does anybody else want to speak against the motion? Okay, Arthur, would you like to say something?
So those of you, just a brief background, right? Mr. Gardner was banned from the station January 2019, and he got removed without any kind of a hearing as a staff delegate from the LSB right after that. He then was nominated by himself to be a listener candidate last June. The National Election Supervisor sent him a notice saying that she had intended to disqualify him, but she never did it. The mail was sent to him. It came back to the national office. John Verniel did not send it to the National Election Supervisor until November 14th. And meanwhile, she had ruled that he would remain on the ballot. And once the election was certified, she didn't have any jurisdiction anymore. So the election was certified, so he was properly elected. Article 4, Section 9 of the bylaws says that someone can be removed, a listener delegate can be removed for conduct adverse to the best interest of the foundation. Or upon vote of the class of members which elected him. So it can be done by the LSB, or it can be done by all the voters. The LSB process takes a two-thirds vote after a due process hearing, or a two-thirds vote of the Pacifica National Board, which must also have a due process hearing. So that's the only provision that I found. No exigent provisions basically says he can't be removed from the LSB without either a two-thirds vote of the local station board or the national board or a vote of the people that elected him. And he has to have a due process hearing, which means serve with charges and have some kind of a appearance in front of the local station board.
The chair, we have time for this point.
What was that?
Okay. Are you finished, Arthur?
Yeah.
Okay, thank
chair,
you.
Chair, Paulina okay. Here, if I may be recognized. We're at time for this agenda item. Thank you.
We're at time. Okay, then it's time to go to a vote. Madam Secretary, could you take the vote on this?
Yes. This is on the motion to ask the KPFT LSB to seat Robert Gardner and it gives consequences if that body refuses. Grace Aaron votes yes. Collier?
Pass.
Chris Corey?
No.
Okay. Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Lyndon Foley?
No.
Okay. Jan Goodman?
Pass.
Okay. Gray?
Yes.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs?
No.
Wally James?
No.
Okay. Dwayne Lark? Lark? Gone.
Absolutely.
Ron Pinchbeck?
Yes.
Okay. Dwayne, did I hear you vote?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Okay. Sandra Rowland?
No.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Eileen Rosen?
Yes.
Okay. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Okay. Aki Tanaka?
Abstain.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Okay. Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay, and going back, Robin Collier?
No.
Okay. And Jan Goodman?
No.
Right. I'm going to count up the votes. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, yes. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no's. And we have 1 abstention. Here we have 13 yes, 6 no's, 1 abstention. Do you wish to vote?
I'll vote yes.
Okay. So the final vote is 14 yes, 6 no, 1 abstention.
Okay. That motion passes. And I think the next item on the agenda is the motion
from the information, Lawrence.
Hold on. Yes, Lawrence, what is your point of information?
I'd like to request that the secretary send that to the KPFT LSV certify, and without this way there cannot be any doubt of the wisdom of the PMB.
Mr. Chair, may I have a point of personal privilege?
Yes, it may be a little tricky to go to a post office under these conditions.
No, not that. What do you mean?
If it's emailed to the entire KPFT LSB and to everybody on the PNB, it will get to somebody, and they can distribute it. I don't want to do it by certified mail.
Yeah, I think that's asking a little much there.
Madam Secretary,
under these conditions. Yes.
I can barely hear Grace.
Okay,
oh, yeah, Grace.
Can you hear me now?
We are having. Yeah, now it's better. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, let's go on to the next agenda item, and that's a motion from the National Finance Committee. Mr. Corey, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. The motion is fairly simple. The NFC recommends to the PMB that they immediately consider a national on-air fundraiser and other fundraising efforts to expedite the past due payment for the audits and the accounting services from NHTSA. May I motivate?
Go ahead.
Okay. So this was passed unanimously by the committee. The committee relies heavily on NHTSA for information. And NHTSA is currently in arrears for bordering on 6 months of payments. And we're in grave danger of losing their services at this juncture if we don't get them some payments. And if Pacifica has the resources to do it without any fundraising, that would be lovely. And I'm sure Lydia can address that. If we're not in the position to do that, then Pacifica should implement some sort of fundraising activity in order to get them paid. The audits is a secondary issue that everybody is well aware of at this juncture, I think. Without the audits, we are not going to be able to get our funding, our 10% funding. And so we need both of these things to happen, and we need them to happen as expeditiously as possible to keep us on schedule for reporting and for timely information to the individual units. So this was, once again, passed through the NFC committee without objection, and I would appreciate it if the PNP would validate that action. Thank you.
James, for the stack.
And this is Lydia to the stack. Sorry.
Okay, the motion is on the floor. Let's hear from our IED first, okay? Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, I'm hoping that someone will move to divide this motion. It would be helpful to have the PMB vote for us to have the on-air fundraiser. We're very competitive for time to do full day fund drives because our stations are almost constantly in fund drive on air, and Pacifica Radio Archives has a full day. National Day for Fund Drive scheduled for April 7th. That was challenging to even have them set that apart for that. But I would appreciate the support from the National Board in order to proceed with that, have them carve out one day of fundraising for that. I do, however, think that without a full meeting, which I would like to see us have, I would like for us to have a full meeting in the next couple weeks where it's just about finances, both in open session and in closed session, because we have to prioritize a whole host of bills. I am fully aware that we are in arrears with NETA. We do pay them monthly an amount. I do. Hopefully we can raise that amount and so forth. But we're having to negotiate a lot of critical payments. In other words, you know, keeping the lights on, as it were. And especially when most nonprofits are experiencing during this time a 60% reduction, and even with city, state, and national, federal offers out there and the possibility of getting some of that money, those are basically tantamount to applying for grants and so forth. So there are a lot of conditions for accessing those funds. So we do have to continue to raise money by other means as well. But I think everything that we can do, we should do that. But I would like to see us divide this motion, give me the mandate to obviously to have that the on-air fund drive, and then also to postpone the distribution of it until we can have a holistic look at everything that we have to deal with and devote a full meeting, open and closed session, to that so that I can have some direction and some support from the National Board as to what we are going to prioritize. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Lydia. So I would like to ask someone who wishes to take that up and make a motion to divide.
This is James.
James?
Yeah, this was my motion in the Finance Committee, and I'm very happy to move to divide. I'm also very happy to work within the IED's scheduling doing such fundraising.
Oh, thank you. Much appreciated.
Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to divide?
Could somebody clarify what a motion to divide is? This is Lyndon.
Okay. Let's see. I have to get the motion in front of me. Chris, do you have, can you read the motion and explain what exactly is being divided here?
Actually, I'm not sure at what point Lydia would like to divide the motion, but I can read it. The NFC recommends to the PNB that they immediately consider a national on-air fundraiser and other fundraising efforts to expedite past due payments for the audits and the accounting services from NEDA. So, Lydia, where specifically would you like to divide that motion?
At the end of the fundraiser, wait, I'm trying to open it here. In other words, yes, through all of the fundraising efforts, and then accounting and NETA, that's part of the larger conversation of, first of all, accounting is a broad category of what we owe and how we're going to pay it and so forth. And then all of our vendors, and some of that will have to be in closed session.
Mr. Chair, respectfully, can I comment on this?
Chair, what is the time on this item?
Sure.
I think I requested 10 minutes for this. So, it sounds more like Lydia wishes to amend this motion than to divide it. And the amendment would be to strike the last half of the motion, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think there's any other place to divide it because there's only two edicts that are listed here, and that would be national on-air fundraising and other fundraising efforts. That would be the point to divide it, I suppose. And there isn't sufficient language in the bottom half of this motion to create a second motion. So it sounds like she wants to amend to me.
Lydia?
Okay.
This is Grace for the stack. I have an amendment.
I'd like Lydia to clarify what she...
Okay, so now I've got the motion. So I'm saying the NFC recommends to the PNB that they immediately consider a national on-air fundraiser and other fundraising efforts to expedite past due payments. I guess you'd have to... you would have to just add an S to... I guess you do have to amend it. Past due vendor payments is what it would have to be, period. And then...
Yeah, and I'll bypass any further comment. I'll pass that on to James if he wants to comment. So, thank you.
Okay. And then the rest of it, because I don't think it should be lost. It came from a committee. So, I'm not recommending that we strike the rest of it. And that the discussion... of prioritizing audits and accounting services from NETA be postponed until we have the larger meeting of the PNB.
Okay. Well,
or
I guess
maybe if you either postpone it or table. I don't like to table. I want to postpone it for two meetings from now, devoted to finance.
Why don't we just make a motion?
I'd like to
postpone.
Move that. I would move that. This is Grace. Move the motion to postpone this for two meetings.
A second. Dwayne Lark.
James to the stack.
Okay. Is
Lyndon
that acceptable, Mr. Sagerton?
I want to say that is perfectly acceptable, and I just want to add that the motivation for this, and I don't remember, Lydia, if you were on that finance committee a call, think so. It was prompted by Anita Sims, our ICFO from NEDA, explaining to us that we were as much as 6 months behind in our payments and that she was no longer able to justify that to her firm. And I think she even mentioned that she was a member of Pacifica and had been taking extraordinary personal efforts to keep this, to keep us afloat with NEDA, and implied, and perhaps as much as said, I don't recall exactly, that they would have to be
you know, suspending their service to us shortly. So I think we do, you know, I'm happy to wait for 2 weeks, but I just want to emphasize how important it is that we address it soon.
Mr. Chair, we're out of time for this agenda item.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Okay, so we're out of time, and we have a motion to postpone. Are there any objections to postponing consideration of this item for 2 weeks until we can have a special meeting on finances?
Chair, Robin, this is Sandra from Houston.
This is Lyndon. I'm on the stack.
There's no further stack. This is a motion to postpone. Do we have an objection to the motion to postpone?
Robin objects.
I object to the motion to postpone.
Okay, let's go to a vote.
Excuse me. I have a request for information. This is Eileen.
What is your request for information?
Yeah, did you say 2 meetings or 2 weeks?
Well,
I don't know when the meetings are set for.
I said 2 meetings because we haven't set the dates for our future meetings. I think it's farther on.
Right.
Yes.
But I don't know if we're going to have a meeting every week or every 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So I think we need to be more specific.
Well, I'm assuming this is an item we want to get to as soon as possible. So yes, I mean 2 meetings and 2 weeks. Yes. So that means a special meeting. A special meeting will have to be posted from 2 weeks from tonight to deal with this.
Great.
That's kind of my assumption. All right. So let's go to a vote.
Okay. This is a vote on the motion to postpone for 2 meetings, 2 weeks. Saren votes yes. Robin Collier?
No.
Okay. Chris Corey?
No.
Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Yes.
Lyndon Foley?
No.
Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Heather Gray?
Yes.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs?
No.
Wally James?
No.
Okay. Dwayne Mark?
Yes.
Okay. Ron Pinchback? Okay. Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Okay. Sandra Rowland?
No.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Okay. John Rose?
Yes.
Okay. Eileen Rosen?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. James Sagerton?
Yes.
Okay. Nancy Sorden?
No.
Right. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Right. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Okay. And Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay. Jan Goodman, you passed. How do you vote?
Abstain.
All right. And Ron Pinchback, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, you're voting yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Eileen Rosen, you passed.
Yeah, I abstain.
Okay, so now I'm going to count the votes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no's. And we have 1, 2 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote? 11 yes, 7 no, 2 abstentions.
I abstain.
Okay, thank you. So the final vote is 11 yes, 7 no's, 3 abstentions.
Okay, thank you. So that motion passes. And we now go to the next item on the agenda, which is the report from the interim executive director. And let's see, I was going to read the topics that are addressed in your report, at least according to the draft agenda.
I can do them.
You want to do that? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So the first topic is the coronavirus update and implications for our station and staff. We're taking all of the precautionary measures, and those have been changing station by station area daily, almost. I think that we're kind of settled now, but certainly through last week, it would be one order from the governor one day and another one from the city of LA, at least here, you know, in California, and the same thing in New York, where you have orders and all kinds. Some things are illegal and some things are just recommendations. They all started out as recommendations, and we had to get more and more diligent about safeguarding the staff. So I think that we're pretty clear, and I think we're pretty consistent from what I can tell at all of the stations. Obviously, it has had an impact on the quality of our programming transmission because, of course, many of the programmers are doing so from their home. Not enough. More have to do that. At some stations, there's absolutely nobody allowed in except the engineer, and then at other stations, just a few until we can transition people over or replace the programming during this period of time. We're doing everything that we can, and also to make sure that our responsibility as a network is very consistent and very much in compliance with everything. So that's one. And then in terms of the staff, I think that we are covering everyone. So payroll is supposed to be in this week. The payroll has been coming in. To my knowledge, I certainly have not been advised of anyone being officially placed on unemployment or on furlough and so forth. I am still trying to get a legal opinion on some aspects of that, and we have to work with our staff should any of that be necessary. Certainly through the end of April, there should be no problems, although I have got to say, and I'll jump ahead, that the fundraising has been very anemic in most of the stations, falling short of their goals during the fund drive, with the exception, I believe, of KPFA, but I think Chris can enlighten us on that. And we will be getting, by the time we have this other meeting, the specific figures. And there are ongoing fundraising efforts in between, but as we know, most nonprofits, I think the figure I heard was that there's like a 60% drop in income, and that is also probably what helped motivate some of this new legislation at the congressional level, at least at the Senate level, and expected to be in the House, that some will be going, but it's going like to CPB, so we have to look into what we are eligible to receive from that. But there are plenty of also local, state, and other federal opportunities to hopefully recover some, but you have to meet certain criteria. And in order to meet that criteria, then I have to gather all of the information in terms of the effect that this stay-at-home policy and just the fact that so many people I have received, as you know, I sent out an appeal to our membership. And the emails,
some of the, well, I have received some money, but not what we would hope. But nevertheless, but I also receive accompanying emails saying I would send more, but I'm right now I have been placed on unemployment because of the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. I'm furloughed, etc. So we're hearing that a lot from our very loyal listeners who for years have supported us. So that's just the reality that we are living in, and we didn't have what we should have, which of course are reserves for all kinds of things that come up. So those are the implications, and as I said, I've started making phone calls locally. We have, at every station, I think, we saw that in New York when we had the other issue, and certainly here in L.A., we have relationships with some people who are in a position to help us get some of that funding released, and that's what I'm calling those whose cell phones I have. anyway, so that's on that, and B with station fund drives and other financial issues. We are underwater, and what NETA has said, and the CFO, is what I hear from many vendors, and so that's why I also recommend that we have a huge meeting, because they are all using that same kind of language. And what I think we can do is up what we're distributing as much as possible. So if we were paying them $5,000, let's make it $7,000 until we catch up, or whatever it is that we decide. I'm not recommending that specifically. I'm just giving that as an example. So we have to make some fundamental effort in all of these, and we have to not incur more expense wherever we can. There are some things I'm trying to cut down on. For example, as you know, I'm working without a salary, so for however long I'm here, that saves us a sizable amount, and that should be put in. I can't even craft a budget without looking back at, you know, what we have spent, like for the national office, and what it takes to run a national office, which it can't just be the ED moving forward. They have to have staff. I plan to have another email appeal, which will be a specific appeal for national. This last one, as you know, I included everybody go, as I've done for Super Tuesday and for the various things that I've done nationally, the national coverage, has been send it to your station and or Pacifica National. I will do one email appeal to the membership that will be for that. I'm also looking into into having email lists from, let's say, NPR. When I was in 17, I had bought a number of snail mail lists, and it's just too expensive for us to utilize those. But an email list, we have found it can be done very quickly and efficiently and economically. So hopefully, I don't know what these lists cost, email. That's what I'm in the process of pricing as well. We can't plan. I had some in-person fundraisers for the national office to be held here in L.A. because of the entertainment industry, the film industry that's here, and had two or three directors in mind and a studio that I had in mind to hold a fundraiser, a high-end fundraiser. Obviously, we can't do that right now until we get past the coronavirus pandemic, and it's many, many repercussions from that. So that there's that. Banking and administrative update. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I can. Part of the financial issue, okay, and banking, is also that I did add the Act Blue button on the Pacifica National site. People have been donating on that simply because we have been in that election cycle, and they also, a number of nonprofits use Act Blue, and many of us, you know, trust that implicitly and are more comfortable with that other than PayPal or whatever, I'd like to give the donors options. So we are keeping the other button there, but more people have been donating on ActBlue than PayPal, at least as a result of that last appeal where I didn't highlight that ActBlue was there. So we'll see how that works out. And but so far, so good. And it works, and I'm now going into banking and administrative update as well, is that with PayPal, I can simply download the money and it goes into our account. With ActBlue, they send a check every week and give you an email delineation of who donated and so forth. And then so banking and administrative update is that we have had, as I discussed last time, but we have new board members. So if I'm repeating a little bit, I think it would be beneficial for them, is that as a result of the next item, which has to do with the property, the KPFA property tax issue, that it has become quite common knowledge about one of the key issues with that property tax situation when there was an appeal for an exemption was the fact that there was a name change back in 2013, 2014. We went back to our name, et cetera. And now all of the bank or other banks beyond KPFA's bank, which is a separate bank than the National Office Bank, we have like five, six banks, are requiring me to present all of the founding documents and go through an elaborate process. So I have, I have three banks that I have off my plate now that I've gone through that. I have two more to go. And so that's just a very labor-intense process that we're having to go through. So the update on the KPFA building property tax situation is that the paperwork that KPFA had to produce is all there. And as we discussed, and it was in open session, that one of the things that had to be done was to change the wording in our articles of incorporation. Quite frankly, I think the wording is almost identical to what they're requiring, but okay. So as the board, we did pass that, and there will be, we may be able to file that in a way that it will be acceptable, and we may need to get an exemption, in a waiver in order to do that, versus having another member vote in order to change our articles of incorporation. And that apparently was a sticking point, something that was sent to a previous executive director in October of 2018. And from the board members I've spoken to, they were not notified of the need to do that. And what triggered it was the applications for exemption, which are now both at KPFA and KPFK. At KPFK, the difference is that KPFK has paid its taxes all this time, and they just want them to be completely tax exempt. And but we will need that for both. But the most important thing is that the auction was lifted. There was an auction notice, and that was lifted. And the basis for that was because we moved so swiftly with the expertise of two law firms that specialize in these areas. And so that because of that, they acknowledged that that was the basis for lifting the auction. So now we have complied with everything that they have requested, and this is both for the station as well as the tower property. Okay, let me see. Other national office news, again, for the benefit of the new board members, we will be posting that for checks that are sent to national, that they go to a P.O. box that the secretary and myself set up here in Los Angeles. And that is so that those don't get mixed up and erroneously deposited to KPFK. And right now the system is that they come into the reception and they're taken up to the Pacifica Radio Archives, where I have a desk, and we're set up there. Pacifica Radio Archives, as you know, is a unit of the national office, and it has a separate lock upstairs at the offices of KPFK. And I think that's about it for now. It's just constantly in terms of, obviously, the backlog of financial issues, and I rely heavily on Tamara at NETA, and she's been excellent at sending me what can be paid. When I can look in the bank accounts and look, but she's the one receiving the bills, and she has excellent judgment in terms of prioritizing what we can within the scope of what we are able to afford at any given time. So it's been that type of thing. It's just, the cash flow situation is poor, and that's why we must devote a full meeting. The other aspect, by the way, of the finances in general is the fact that we don't have something by which we can look and see, well, how much did this particular lawsuit cost? I mean, it takes away from, it takes a special discipline of a person to go through and summarize all of those things. I hope to be able to do that before that is done. I will be asking Chris, because he may have that at the ready, but a lot of things we don't know. My other concern is that we don't have enough of a bill back to stations, because I haven't heard any kind of a distribution for the cost of this referendum that we had, or the last elections, or all of those things that historically were always distributed among the stations. So, not to mention things that preceded me, which was the WBAI situation. So anyway, all of those things need to be fettered out, and there has to be national board involvement in making the decision as to how we get that and let the stations know. I'm constantly being asked by our new interim in Houston. He's trying to set out a budget, and he says, I just tell me everything that I'm going to have to pay in terms of these kinds of issues, and I can't answer that until we have that discussion.
Chair, this is Paulina, your time.
That's
speaker.
It.
We have eight minutes left for this item. Just
okay, question.
Grace,
okay.
Sorry. Grace for the
okay,
chair.
Okay, I'll take a stack of questions.
Lawrence to the stack, Chair.
James.
Okay, great. Grace, Lawrence, James, anybody else? Okay, try to keep your questions short. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, I don't know if I sent an email around. $350 billion is in this stimulus package earmarked to save small nonprofits or small businesses with employees of 500 or less. And these are loans that are readily available through banks. They're backed by the federal government in this coronavirus thing, and they're meant to keep people employed. And if the money can be documented that it's used for operating expenses and for payroll, the money borrowed will be forgiven. We need to look into this, and there are other relief options available that we could. This could be one thing that could help us enormously. So I hope that those options will be looked into as soon as possible.
Yes, if I can respond. I have started looking into it. It requires a lot of proof that we were specifically affected by the coronavirus and how, and that's number one. And that's in numbers and figures, not just that we didn't raise enough in our fund drive type of thing. That's number one. But beyond that, that's easy. Then we also have to, what I haven't done, I have started contacting some of these agencies. I have started getting some of the information about that. And the vote on the current, what was just passed in the Senate, has not been passed in the House till tomorrow. It probably will be. I'm already getting some breakdown on that, but there are still questions and applications. Obviously, CPB is one of them for in terms of the radio stations, that there's something else there. I'm more hopeful about some of the local and state avenues. And in terms of the banking, Bank of America is not being as is not availing itself as much or for as long as Wells Fargo, for example. We do have a Wells Fargo account as well, and a dedicated person that's been working with us for years, although that just changed, but still that relationship is there. And there are and Chase is also one of those banks, and so we will definitely, I will go to the banks as soon as I finish all of these all of this paperwork that came about because of that other change. But nevertheless, so I am looking at local, states, well, starting with CPB, federal, states, and local, and I'm going to have to of course, ask the station managers because they're the ones in the front line for some of the local city and state in other areas other than California, which I will be dealing with. And for that, the federal we can do because we also have a longstanding, obviously, relationship with CPB, although we'd like to have more. We still receive CPB grants. They're just not the ones that we used to receive and not in that range, but that's also on my agenda. So the ones that I'm going to first are the ones that have already been approved, have already been funded and defined. It won't be until after Friday that we get the nuts and bolts and the details, and then I'll go into more in closed session as to some of the assistance that I'll be asking for in that regard.
Chair?
Okay. Lawrence?
Thank you. Before I ask my question, I'd like to make a motion to extend and put 10 more minutes to the time that's already that's on the books right now.
Wayne Hart, second.